NBC Radio News on the Hour, brought to you by Winn's friction-proofing products to correct and prevent car trouble from radiator to gas tank. Now here is Martin Nagronsky, NBC News.
President Kennedy denounced critics of his foreign policy today as prone to confuse rhetoric with reality. On the second day of his Texas tour, the president used a Dallas speech to contend that those who advance seemingly swift and simple solutions to every world problem will end in endangering the nation's security. Though the president didn't mention Arizona Senator Barry Goldwater by name, there was no doubt his remarks were aimed at the man who is now regarded as the front runner for the Republican presidential nomination. Acting Commerce Secretary Franklin D. Roosevelt, Jr. has testified to the Senate Banking Committee that the U.S. will have to hurry its decision on selling surplus wheat to the Soviet Union, as the Russians have now set a May 21st deadline for beginning shipments. Roosevelt argued against the proposal of South Dakota Senator Mundt to bar government-sponsored credit for wheat purchases by any communist nation. He contended this restriction would bar U.S. businessmen from getting a fair chance to win a part of Russia's annual $4 billion of trade with the free world. At the United Nations in New York, the 17 member states of the presently postponed Geneva Disarmament Conference voted to resume negotiations at Geneva next January 21st. And more news after this from Winds Friction Proofing.
Carefree driving begins with a can of wind and a can of wind today.
Did it happen this morning? Did you step on the gas and finally realize that the pep and zing your car used to have is gone? Sort of takes the joy out of driving, doesn't it? Well, there's a very good answer to your problem. It's called Winds Friction Proofing. Winds Friction Proofing restores a healthy measure of the pep your car has lost with age. It increases power and gas mileage, makes starting easier on cold mornings. But best of all, Winds Friction Proofing penetrates the surfaces of the moving parts inside your engine. It smooths and seals these parts to hold engine wear to an absolute minimum. Next time you stop for gas or service, add a can of Winds Friction Proofing to your crankcase. Your satisfaction is guaranteed, or your money back.
So add a can of Winds today.
Here again, Martin Nagronsky.
A two-day conference between West Germany's Chancellor Erhard and France's President de Gaulle has ended, and a report from NBC's Bernard Frizzell in Paris.
West German Chancellor Ludwig Erhard made plain here today the German government's reliance upon the United States for its defense against the threat of Soviet aggression. That was the note on which Erhard wound up his two-day visit here to President de Gaulle. The French were reportedly careful not to present to Erhard a choice between themselves and the United States. But the Germans were said to be astonished at the sharply critical attitude of the French toward American policy. A joint communique called for all necessary efforts to get the common market moving forward again and to increase trade with the United States through the forthcoming Kennedy round of negotiations for tariff reduction. But no concrete agreements were announced. This is Bernard Frizzell, NBC News, Paris.
Democratic Senator George McGovern of South Dakota, home state of the Fisher Quintuplets, has a letter from a constituent that he finds hard to answer. The constituent writes that he doesn't mind a bit all the gifts to the Fisher family, but that he feels he's being unfairly treated despite his similar circumstances. "I've got five children, too," he complains to Senator McGovern, "and just because mine came one at a time, no one has given me a cent." Michigan's Governor George Romney insisted today at the Midwest Governors Conference in Omaha that he is not seeking the Republican presidential nomination next year. This is Martin Nagronsky, NBC News, Washington.
When your child is sick with a cold or flu, remember what doctors recommend: bed rest, plenty of fluids, and aspirin to reduce fever and relieve pains. When you give orange-flavored Bayer aspirin for children, your child will feel better fast. And knowing he feels better, so will you. Each tablet is the 1 1/4 grain dosage doctors recommend for children. And it gives you such confidence to know you're giving the best. So always give orange-flavored Bayer aspirin for children. This has been NBC News on the Hour. Listen again on the Hour for NBC Radio News, brought to you by Bayer Aspirin for Children. Emphasis adds to your listening enjoyment. Weekdays on the NBC Radio Network.
Yeah. This is Morgan Beatty, NBC News, emphasis the ledger of life. The man who was promoted from the highest office in the United States to a job of no importance. That observation on People and the Times in a moment.
Enjoy those wonderful wines from Morgan David, Morgan David, Morgan David. Wonderful wines from Morgan David, Morgan David wines. The home sweet home wines you'll enjoy, delicious as can be. The wines like Grandma used to make bring back treasured memories. Enjoy those wonderful wines from Morgan David, Morgan David wines.
It's here, the cheeriest, cherriest wine you ever tasted. It's Mogan David Pure Cherry Wine. Not too sweet, not too tart. Anytime's the right time to enjoy it. Mogan David Pure Cherry Wine.
Enjoy those wonderful wines from Mogan David like Grandma used to make.
Mogan David Cherry Wine, specially sweetened. Mogan David Wine Corporation, Chicago.
This is Morgan Beatty. Emphasis, the ledger of life. Dateline, Uvalde, Texas. A famous American, John Nance Garner, celebrates his 95th birthday today. He's not as hale and hearty as he has been, but mercifully, he is sharp in mind. When our hero was born, November the 22nd, 1868, the United States was still an infant among the great powers of the modern world. By 1893, John Nance Garner had earned the nickname that has stuck to him to this day, Cactus Jack. He has acquired a habit of life that may have had something to do with his lifespan. He acquired the habit of eating at least one grapefruit every day. And in 1893, Cactus Jack was elected to what he has called the most important job he ever held. That was superintendent of schools in his hometown. They never gave me credit for that in these biography books, he has said. No, the biographers regard Speaker of the House of Representatives as Jack Garner's biggest job. And when the little Texan became vice president under Franklin Roosevelt in 1933, he said, "I'm going from the biggest job in Washington, Speaker, to the littlest." Banker Garner became a Democrat instead of a Republican for several reasons. Texas was a natural sympathizer with Southern Democrats, and the stars of Cleveland and Bryan were rising over the landscape. They magnetized Jack Garner, galvanized him into political action. And in 1933, in the trough of the Depression, he looked upon Franklin Roosevelt as another Cleveland or Bryan, or even better. He loved the New Dealer to the end, even though he parted with him on the third term issue and on economics. Cactus Jack recently decided to give much of his money, over $1 million, to educational institutions in Texas. To whispers that his relatives might be disappointed in that, he says, "It's my money. I'll do what I please with it." And those who thought Cactus Jack was kidding when he said he had given up both his cigars and his sour mash bourbon whiskey, he used to drink it by the glassful, at age 90, well, they were dead wrong. He has puffed a cigar only on rare ceremonial occasions since that time. He raises pecans, pheasants' eggs. He keeps hens to hatch the pheasants' eggs. He still wears khaki pants and shirt, both for every day and Sunday. And when Cactus Jack Garner sits in his rocking chair, in the setting sun in the afternoon, or in the shade of his porch at noontime, he keeps his belt unfastened for comfort. When he left Washington a generation ago, he vowed to make no meaningful political comments. Hardly a line of that kind of thing has appeared. But he has made no secret of his friendship for Harry Truman and Lyndon Johnson and the late Speaker Sam Rayburn. Today, Cactus Jack keeps right up with the times. He has two television sets so he can watch two ball games at the same time. He hates nothing more than the fuss and feathers of a birthday celebration. One thing for certain, he wouldn't give up his afternoon nap for all the birthday celebrations in Christendom. Morgan Beatty, NBC News.
Here's a thought for Thanksgiving.
Have a heart-to-heart thought with the one you love. That special someone you're thinking of. Send flowers by wire. It's easy to do through the FTD florist nearest you.
The Thanksgiving special at $7.50 is only one of 26 arrangements in the new Florist Telegraph Delivery Selection Guide, available at your FTD florist.
This is Morgan Beatty, Emphasis, the Ledger of Life, reminding you that Emphasis is heard 8 times daily, Monday through Friday, on this NBC station.
stations, this is a 30-second hotline bulletin talk-up. Just 25 seconds from now, we'll bring you a hotline bulletin dealing with the president. Several shots were fired near the president in Dallas. A hotline bulletin coming to you in 15 seconds. Stand by all NBC stations. A hotline bulletin in 10 seconds. A hotline bulletin in 5 seconds. This is an NBC News bulletin. Shots were fired near President Kennedy in Dallas. Here is a report from Robert McNeil, NBC News, with the presidential party in Dallas.
Several shots were fired as President Kennedy's motorcade passed through downtown Dallas. Crowds screamed and lay down on the grass as the motorcade went by. Police broke away and began chasing an unknown gunman across some railroad tracks. It was not known if the shots were aimed at the president. Repeat, it is not known if the shots were aimed at the president. This is Robert McNeil, NBC News, in Dallas, Texas.
And here is a flash from the Associated Press in Dallas. The Associated Press reports that the president was seriously wounded. This is not confirmed. This is a flash. Repeat, this is a flash from the Associated Press in Dallas. They report that the president was seriously wounded by assassin's bullets. This is an unconfirmed report from the Associated Press. I repeat, the Associated Press reports from Dallas that President Kennedy was seriously wounded by assassin's bullets in Dallas. This has been a hotline bulletin report from NBC News. Stand by for later developments as they become available. Stand by all NBC stations. This is a 30-second hotline bulletin talk-up. In just 25 seconds, we will bring you a further report on the reported shooting of the president in Dallas. This hotline report coming to you in 15 seconds. Stand by all NBC stations. A further report on the reported shooting in Dallas in 10. In 5 seconds, a bulletin hotline. This is an NBC News bulletin. There is a report from Dallas that President Kennedy has been shot. Here is a late report from Bob Thornton in Dallas.
Information is still sketchy at this time. We have just talked with two eyewitnesses, a man and his wife, who were standing near the president's motorcade. They said that a shot rang out from behind them. They thought at first it was a firecracker. Then, according to the eyewitnesses, one woman who was in a hysterical condition told us that the president was hit in the side of the head and fell into his wife Jacqueline's arms. He was rushed to Dallas Parkland Hospital. We have not had confirmation at this moment as to whether he was actually hit, his condition, or any further details. This is Bob Thornton in Dallas for NBC News.
And this has been a hotline special report. Stay tuned to your NBC station for late breaking developments on this story.
Stand by all NBC stations. This is a 30-second hotline bulletin talk-up. Just 25 seconds from now, we'll bring you a hotline bulletin dealing with the shooting of the president today in Dallas, Texas. In 15 seconds. In 10 seconds, we will bring you a special hotline bulletin. In 5 seconds. This is an NBC News bulletin. We take you now to Robert McNeil, NBC News, in Dallas, Texas.
Several shots were fired today as President Kennedy's motorcade passed through downtown Dallas. A police officer at the scene said he believed the president had been wounded and has been taken to hospital. People screamed and lay down in the grass as the shots were heard as the motorcade went by. Police immediately fanned out over a wide area. A small Negro boy and a white man said they had seen a man with a gun in the window of a building overlooking the route. This is Robert McNeil, NBC News in Dallas, Texas.
This has been a Hotline Special Report. Stay tuned to your NBC station for other Hotline reports and for the late developments on the NBC News on the Hour. This is NBC News. Here is Peter Hackis in Washington.
President Kennedy has been shot. As of now, there is no final official report on his condition. Here now, pieced together, the news items we have as they have reached us from Dallas, Texas. Within the hour, President Kennedy and Texas Governor John B. Connally were cut down by would-be assassins' bullets as they toured downtown Dallas in an open automobile. Representative Albert Thomas, Democrat of Texas, says he's been informed the president and Governor Connally were both still alive after having been shot in an assassination attempt. Thomas, standing outside the corridor of the emergency room in which both Mr. Kennedy and Connally were under treatment, said he's been told the president was still alive, but in very critical condition. The president, his limp body cradled in the arms of his wife, was rushed to Parkland Hospital. The governor also taken to Parkland. A Secret Service agent, Clint Hill, a man assigned to protect Mrs. Kennedy, said he's dead. As the president was lifted from the rear of a White House touring car, the famous bubble top car, which was sent to Dallas from Washington. He was rushed to an emergency room in the hospital. Other White House officials who were questioned about it say they were in doubt. The corridors of the hospital, of course, in pandemonium. The incident occurred just east of a triple underpass facing a park in downtown Dallas, Texas. Associated Press reporter Jack Bell reports three shots were fired as the presidential motorcade entered a triple underpass in Dallas that leads to the Stemmons Freeway. After the president was shot, the Secret Service waved the motorcade on at top speed to the nearby Parkland Hospital. Here in Washington, the White House press office said at 1:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time that it has nothing beyond press information on the shooting. Kennedy apparently was shot in the head. He fell face down in the back seat of his car. Blood was on his head. Mrs. Kennedy cried, "Oh no," and tried to hold up his head. Governor Connally remained half seated in the car, slumped to the left. There was blood on his face and forehead. The president and the governor were rushed to the hospital as quickly as possible. Mr. Kennedy was to have made a speech at the Dallas Trade Mart, not far from the hospital. Reporters about five car lengths behind the chief executive heard what sounded like three bursts of gunfire. Secret Service agents in a follow-up car quickly unlimbered their automatic rifles and their pistols, but the damage apparently has been done or had been done. We switch now for a direct report to Robert McNeil, NBC News, Dallas.
President Kennedy was shot at today by a gunman from a building along the route as he drove through downtown Dallas. He has been rushed to hospital bleeding. Texas Senator Ralph Yarborough says the president is seriously wounded. Mrs. Kennedy, who was sitting beside him in the open car, was not hurt, but the governor of Texas, John Connally, was also reported wounded. As the shots rang out, three shots as the motorcade went by, people screamed and lay down in the grass. Police immediately fanned out over a wide area. They found several witnesses, including a small boy, who said he saw a man in the window of a building overlooking the parade route with a gun in his hand. President Kennedy is now in the Parkland Memorial Hospital. An accurate estimate of his condition has not been given. Congressman Yarborough of Texas says only that the president is seriously wounded. This is Robert McNeil, NBC News, at the Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas, Texas.
The Secret Service says the president remained in the emergency room. The governor has been moved to the general operating room of Parkland Hospital in Dallas. One Secret Service man was overheard telling another, "There is no need to move the president because emergency facilities are entirely adequate in the emergency room." Two Roman Catholic priests have been summoned to the emergency room where the president is, one identified as a Father Huber. Again, the president and the governor of Texas have been shot, both in critical condition in Dallas, Texas. Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington.